Well, turn with me to the Gospel according to John, chapter 9, and our text is going to begin in verses 1 through 4. Our message today is entitled, Why Do Bad Things Happen to Godly People? This is a sermon series that I've been preaching, and today we have the sixth principle in the answer to that question. And today's principle is the works of God principle. There are times in your life or my life, there are times in other people's life when the reason that the bad thing has become a part of your life is so that the works of God might be displayed in their life, in your life. Now, how long does something stay in a person's life when God does that? Or when God is doing that for this principle? Well, there was a man who was born in this condition. He had gone through his infancy. He had gone through his childhood. He had gone through his adolescence. He had gone through his young adulthood. And as an adult, this man had a bad thing that was a part of his life, and it had remained with him. But on a given day, when Jesus passed by, the answer to the question was given to him. Why did a bad thing like that happen to that person? Let me read John chapter 9, verses 1 through 4 for you, and we'll get to the outline. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind? Jesus answered, It was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. And all of God's children say, Amen. There are three things that I want to share with you this morning about why do bad things happen to godly people and what the works of God principle is all about. Every single one of you have had bad things to be a part of your life. There will be more times when bad things will be a part of your life. Sometimes it will end up being so that the works of God might be displayed in your life. The first principle, first thing that I want to share with you is the observation of the disciples. I want to show you in this text the observation of the disciples. Now, in John chapter 9, verse 1, it says, as somebody passed by. Who is this somebody that was passing by? Jesus. As Jesus passed by. Now, I want you to notice what it says happened. As Jesus passed by, it says Jesus, and then there's a three-letter word after he. What is that word? Saw. He saw a man who was blind from birth. Now, the major principle that I'm speaking to you about is the observation of the disciples. Can I tell you right now, church, that what Jesus sees is not the same thing that you see? What Jesus sees is not always the same thing that we see. What Jesus sees is not always the same thing that other people see. But they were at the same place. And now let me show you what the observation of the disciples was. It says, as Jesus passed by, now he saw a blind man, a man who was blind from his birth. But let me show you the observation of the disciples. And verse 2 says, and his disciples ask him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind? Now, do I need to spell out to you what the disciples saw? Whenever we see circumstances and whenever we see people, we oftentimes see them through our own prejudices. We oftentimes see them through our own religious training. We often see them through our own hurts or problems. And here Jesus was. He was passing by this man. Literally, he was leading them by this man. He was teaching them in this moment. He was revealing something about them in this time. And here they are, as smug as it comes across to me, and as pious as it comes across to me, they thought they had a great question that they were going to impress Jesus with. They come up and they see this man who is blind, but they see this man as somebody who is a sinner. Somebody who is not worthy of the time of Jesus. Somebody who's not worthy of the grace of Jesus. Somebody who's done something wrong to be in that condition. There's some of you who are in some conditions right now that the religious community is saying it's your fault. The religious crowd is saying it's your problem. But what Jesus is seeing is something different. And the reason you've got this bad thing in your life, the reason you got this problem in your life, the reason you got this season in your life isn't for anything you've done wrong. It's not something that your mama did in this case. It's not something that your daddy did in this case. This is something that Jesus is going to use to demonstrate His works in your life in. I want to tell you the observation of the disciples, and we've got the same observation going on today in rapid succession. But let me show you not only the observation of the disciples, let me show you the declaration of Jesus. Let me show you what Jesus declared out of the observation of the disciples. And in chapter 9, verse 3, I love these next two words. I love the word Jesus, and then I love the next word. What's that next word? He heard or he answered. Amen? Jesus hears what you say. Jesus hears what you pray. Jesus hears what your question is, even if you don't ask the question. Amen? That's another direction, but we won't go there right now. Jesus answered their observation. Jesus answered their prejudice. Jesus answered their wrong theology. Jesus answered their wrong thinking and said, it was neither that this man sinned and nor his parents, but the reason this man was blind from his birth was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. Oh my goodness, can you think a little bit better about your bad thing right now? Can you think a little bit more hopeful about your bad thing right now? Because God has seen every bad thing that's come into your life, every hardship that's ever been a part of your life, every struggle that you've ever been through right now. And if you haven't been able to pray it out, if you haven't been able to cast it out, if you haven't been able to heal it out, it could very well be that Jesus is about to pass by again and the works of God are going to be displayed in you. Amen? Oh, my goodness. Oh, yes. The works of God. The miracles of God, the power of God, the manifestation of God, the presence of God. He says, neither has sinned in this case. Nobody is to blame for this right here. But God has allowed this into your life so that the works of God might be displayed in you. Now let me move to John chapter 11, verse 4. When Jesus heard this, heard what? I got to tell you about this. His friend that he loved, Lazarus, had gotten sick. Now, not just a cold sick. You know, not just a chicken pox sick. You know, not just any kind of sick, but a sickness that if it didn't get healed, if it didn't get delivered, if it didn't get well, it's going to result in him dying. Word was given to Jesus about the sickness of the one he loved, Lazarus. And when Jesus heard this, he says, I've got an announcement to make. The family's all upset. Mary and Martha are wigged out. They know I can do something about this, and they expect me to do something about this, but I'm going to do something differently than they've ever seen before. But they don't know it yet, so shh, y'all don't tell them. Because Mary Martha's not there. There with Lazarus who's dying. Jesus was 3 days away. And so they sent word to Jesus, and Jesus stayed even longer. And then he says, this sickness is not to end in death. But this sickness is for the what? The glory of God. So that the Son of God may be glorified by it. Now, I don't want you to ever, ever think that God doesn't hear about your bad thing. I don't want you to ever conclude that God doesn't care about your bad thing. I don't want you to ever believe that God can't fix your bad thing. But if there is a delay, if there is a procrastination, if there is a timing issue that doesn't fit your timing, don't ever think that God's not able or God's not available, that God's not willing or God's not moving. I want to tell you there's sometimes that He's setting the stage for the greatest display of His glory that you've ever seen before. Can somebody say amen? Oh, but do you want the works of God to be a part of your life? Do you want the works of God to be manifest right here? Do you want the works of God to be available at your disposal and my disposal? Oh, I don't know if you do or not. But you see, with Lazarus in John chapter 11, Jesus was going to display His glory in a way that they'd never seen before. And with the man who was born blind, Jesus was going to display His glory in a way they had never seen before. And it was going to challenge the man in his blindness, and it was certainly going to upset the religious community and their belief system. How did Jesus go about changing his blindness? Well, how many of you know that Jesus does some of his best work with dirt? How many of you know that Jesus is willing to get down into the dirt to make you better? Amen. So here this man is. He's begging for alms. Jesus passes by, and the disciples have an insinuation. The disciples have an accusation. The disciples, they have some speculation that the reason that a man does not have sight is because he sinned or his mama or daddy sinned. You just don't end up blind for any other reason than that. But Jesus said, oh, no, 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 there's other reasons. There's other reasons people have bad things that come into their life. Sometimes the Father's wanting to display and demonstrate His glory. So when Jesus did that, you got to look at verse 6. Jesus looked down there at verse 6, and Jesus said He bent down into the dirt. And you know what Jesus did to make this man's blindness go away so that he could glorify Him? He used a great big loogie. You say, what in the world is a loogie? Now, Jesus got down and He spit into the dirt. Now, I'd like to think that Jesus is more powerful in any ways than anybody else. But let me tell you, Jesus stepped down as the God-man, and He used His spit, and it wasn't just one ball of spit that turned that dirt into clay. Your Bible says Jesus kept on spitting, and He kept on teaching. Daryl and David, people are going to have to come to somebody else for laying on hands today. I bet you the line to see pastor is going to be short today. You say, preacher, what are you doing? I'm being like Jesus. You know, a lot of people want to see the glory of God. A lot of people want to have the works of God demonstrated in them or by them, but they're not willing to spit in the dirt. A lot of people want to have their blindness removed, but they're not willing to put spit-made clay drops on their eyes. Now, church, I want to tell you, there's some bad things that happen to people for different reasons. For sometimes, it's for the glory of God to be demonstrated in him and by him. This would forever be a part of this man's testimony. And, hey, the religious crowd, they're going to hear about his testimony. He's not begging for alms at that gate anymore. He's running around seeing. And so the religious crowd, they come. And they get all bent out of shape. They get their underwear all up in a wad. They get all knotted up. And say, "What? How did you get made to see?" And for them, as big a how was, when did he do it? Was it on the Sabbath day? Was it on the Sabbath day that you got healed? He says, "Well, yeah, it was." That ain't right. That ain't right. You're not supposed to heal on the Sabbath day. Now, how did he do it? Well, you know, I was in the Valley of Decision. I was in the Valley of Decision about whether to do this or not. This is a true story. I come to the altar to pray. You ask the prayer team what I asked them to pray for me for today, that I'd hear clearly from the voice of God, and I'd do boldly the will of God. Well, I got dry mouth. Lord, I can't do that with dry mouth. Well, the Spirit of God speaks to Yvette and tells her to do something, and she didn't do it. And when she looked up, because what he was telling her to do, you don't normally do. But before, you might have saw her standing in line here. Here's what the Spirit of God told Yvette to say to her pastor. Tell him to open his mouth. Tell him to open his mouth. There. I about got one. But this guy was blind in both eyes. And what your Bible says is, as Jesus knelt down with these self-righteous disciples standing around him, saying, "Who sinned? This one or his mama or his daddy?" And Jesus said, "Neither one of these is the cause of this, but I'm going to demonstrate the glory of my Father in him, and I'm going to be glorified in him." And so Jesus knelt down and kept on spitting in the ground. And kept on spitting in the ground. And then when he got him some clay made up, he put it on the man's eyes. And says, "Now if you want to see, you're going to have to go down to the pool of Siloam. And you're going to have to wash. And when you wash that spit-made clay out of your eyes, you're going to be the work of God today. And the works of God are going to be manifest in you." Now, we see the observation of the disciples. We see the declaration of Jesus. But do you want to know what that third thing is? It's the obligation of the church. What is the obligation of the church? I want you to see it. You've read it before, but I don't think you've ever seen it before. All right. Jesus says, "We, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and you, we must" what? "Work. We must work the works of him who sent me. As long as it is day, night is coming when no one can" what? "Work." You won't have a chance to demonstrate the works of God forever. You won't have a chance to manifest the glory of God forever. But while it's still day, a nighttime, you're going to have to be willing to develop a spit ministry. You're going to have to be willing to develop a mud ministry. You're going to have to be willing to get down into the spit, into the mud, and make supernatural props for God to display His glory in. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
We must work the works. Now, it's not an option. We must work the works. Folks, church ain't pretty. Church isn't clean. Church isn't convenient. I want to tell you, you got to get down to the dirt. You got to be willing to use your spit. You got to be willing to get your hands dirty. You got to be willing to do the extraordinary if you want to see the works of God. I mean, I'm talking about a wave-walking Jesus. I'm talking about a tongue-talking Jesus. I'm talking about a mud-making Jesus. That's the mud-making Jesus that we're talking about here. And if you're going to see the works of God, you're going to have to be willing to use all of God. So what I recommend is, if this offends you, get you an offendectomy. Amen? Because the miracle of God will sometimes offend your sense of reason. It'll sometimes offend your sense of what's normal. And you're not going to get supernatural results with normal activity. You got to walk by the Spirit. We must work the works of Him who sent me. John chapter 14, verse 12. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who, what? He who believes in me, the what? The works that I do. You'll never see that verse again, same way again. The works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do. Why? Because I go to the Father. Now, before he could go to the Father, there was a work of submission he had to do. There was a work of crucifixion he had to do. There was a work of overcoming death, hell, and the grave he had to do. And there was a work of becoming sin that he had to do. And when the Father raised him from the dead, he had a 50-day ministry of doing spectacular things. And he says, I got to go away. Oh, we don't want you to go away. We just got you back. But if I don't go away, then the gift the Father's got for you won't come. And the gift that the Father has for you is going to empower you for greater works. Greater works than these. Do you see that now? Greater works than these you will do because I go to the Father. So Jesus said to them again, peace be with you, as the Father sent me. I'm going to send you into the mud. I'm going to send you into the dirt. I'm going to send you into the dumpster. I'm going to send you into the byways and the highways. And I'm going to send the dirt to you. I'm going to bring the highways and the byways to you. But the way that you do church and the way that you know church is not going to be clean, is not going to be pretty, is not going to be neat. But it is going to be supernatural. I don't want a clean, neat, pretty ministry. I've had one. You get clean, neat, pretty disciples that ain't never had a problem, that ain't never had a breakthrough, that ain't never had a messy time in their life. So they'd want you to believe. But I want to tell you, there's not a man that's been made born of woman who's not got a thing going on in their life, not got mess in their life, not need of a supernatural miracle from God, and not a candidate for the works of God to be demonstrated through them. God wants to take you where you're at and impart to you the greater works ministries. Amen? So what did Jesus do in verse 22? When he said this, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. But I'm going to send you with what I've got. And so he says, receive the Holy Spirit. If you want a greater works ministry, if you want to do the works of God, then you're going to have the power of God. The Holy Spirit is what you need. All right. Seven ministries that God has blessed me with and has been developing them along the way. And what I've learned is that all seven of these ministries require the power of the Holy Spirit. You can't do any of these ministries without the power of the Holy Spirit. Not everybody wants them because they involve some dirt ministry. They involve some spit ministry. They involve the supernatural ministry. And here's the first one. If you want to do that, it's the ministry, the supernatural ministry of intercession. We need the power of the Holy Spirit for our ministry of intercession. Now, real quickly, I'm going to be teaching on these in the weeks to come. But what is the ministry of intercession? Please understand this. Write this down right now. It's not a ministry of doing. It's a ministry of being. Intercession is not a ministry of doing something. Intercession is a ministry of being somewhere. It's being in the presence of God. Now, when Jesus talked about going into your prayer closet, he wasn't necessarily limiting it to a geographical place. He wasn't necessarily referring it to a 4x8 room or whatever the closet would be. Though there are sometimes you need a geographical place to isolate yourself from everything else and everybody else's presence so you can be in the presence of God. So intercession is not limited to a geographical or physical place. Intercession is dominated by being in the presence of God. John 15 is the key to that. Jesus said, "Abide in me, and then let my words abide in you." If we put it in contemporary terms, abide means to hang with. It means to stay with. Hang in there with the presence of God. Stay in there with the presence of God. Well, God, I got to go to work today. Stay in the presence of God at work today. God, I got to go to school today. Hang in with me in school today. I want your presence to be with me. God, I got to go to church today. By all means, hang in there with me in my presence there at church. And there are times when you are in the presence of God, when you are walking in the Spirit, that God's words then are going to abide in you. And when God is at work in this blind man's life right over here, he said, this man wasn't blind because he sinned. This man wasn't blind because of his father. I want to demonstrate the glory of God in him. And so I want you to pull over there and make me a spit ball. And I want you to put that ball of spit on his eyes. Do you understand about intercession is not about doing, it's about being in the presence of God. And when you're in the presence of God and you are hanging in there with him and his words are hanging in there with you, he'll speak his words to you and you'll do what he says to do. Amen? The second ministry that we have to have real quickly is not only the ministry of intercession, but the ministry of proclamation. We want to be filled with the Holy Spirit because you see, when you are in the presence of God, when you are hearing the words of God and you're hanging in there with the words of God, then God's going to say, I want you to open your mouth now and speak. I want you to say what I tell you to say. And sometimes it won't make a bit of sense to you at all, but it'll make every bit of sense to the person you just spoke it to. Go ask your pastor to open his mouth today. Make sure he opens his mouth today. She had no clue what in the world that meant. But when you are abiding in me and my words are abiding in you, I'll use you as someone who will proclaim my message to where I'm working. How many of you, like me, have spent way too much time working where the Father's not working? But oh my goodness, when you're working where God is at work, we must work the works of God while it's day. It won't be opportunity all the time. Amen? So our proclamation ministry, that's just not my preaching ministry, but it certainly involves that. It's your proclamation ministry as well. Number three, intercession and proclamation and restoration. We need the supernatural power of God for restoration. Restoration of sinners to God. Restoration of brothers or sisters who are backslidden and need to be restored to a relationship and fellowship with God. Amen? So our ministry of intercession, our ministry of proclamation, our ministry of restoration, and our ministry of healing. I believe that God wants to demonstrate His works to DeKalb County, to the state of Georgia, to the United States of America, and to the nations that come here and the nations around the world through a healing ministry. You see, it's not about Truth Tabernacle's ministry. It's about the kingdom ministry. And God wants to work the works of Him to those who need healing. Sometimes it'll be physical healing. Sometimes it'll be emotional healing. Sometimes it'll be financial healing. Sometimes it will be spiritual healing. But God wants to entrust to the church the works of God in healing. Would to God we are in the presence of God so much that we are in the presence of God so much that there's anybody that comes under our influence that God's saying, I'm healing this one today. I'm healing this one today. And that we would be courageous enough to ask Him to do it. We'd be obedient enough to ask Him to do it. And then we will be stewards of His miracles. Amen? So we need the power of the Holy Spirit for intercession, for proclamation, for restoration, for healing. And next number, deliverance. You need the power of the Holy Spirit for a deliverance ministry. If you just walk our streets, you'll find all kind of folk bound up by demonic spirits. And God is wanting to demonstrate the arrival of the kingdom through the display of His power. You see, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness is all about a power display. And I'll guarantee you the kingdom of God is more powerful than the kingdom of darkness. But His church, God's church, has missed the mark about the deliverance. Wherever Jesus went, He was healing sicknesses, He was proclaiming the kingdom of God, and He was providing deliverance to those who were bound by powers of darkness. It's a tool that God gives you for your quiver of kingdom ministry. Deliverance ministry is something that God is wanting to entrust us with at Truth Tabernacle of Praise. Well, how about this next one? You hope some, I know what you're all going to think when this one comes up here. I hope it's not today from Pastor, but it's impartation. The ministry of impartation. That is whereby God uses the laying on of hands to demonstrate the impartation of His power into a person's life, His presence into a person's life. In Numbers chapter 11, verses 16 and 18 is the first time we see the ministry of impartation. Moses was the leader of the children of Israel. He couldn't do all the work himself. And so in Numbers chapter 11, God says, I want you to gather 70 elders from Israel around me. I want you to gather 70 elders of Israel around me. And I'm going to take of the Spirit that's on you. And I'm going to put that Spirit on them. And the work that I've called you to do, they are going to multiply for you. That's the first time you see it. How about Elijah and Elisha? What do you want from me, son? I want some of what you got. Be careful what you ask for. And so, impartation. What about what Jesus would do? The impartation of healing oftentimes came through the laying on of hands. And the impartation of healing also came through the spit and the mud. But also the impartation of blessing came through the laying on of hands. And the impartation of gifts, of manifestation of God's gift, was affirmed through the laying on of hands. Paul told Timothy, said to stir up that gift that was given to you through the laying on of hands. Then he told him again. He says, remember that gift that was given to you through the prophetic utterance and the laying on of hands? You utilize it for what God's called you to do. And so the ministry of impartation, there are times when God wants to impart His graces and His presence into somebody's life. That what God is releasing, it's affirmed through the authority of the church and through the ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Pastor, I don't even want to shake your hand right now, let alone to have put on me what you got on you. And it all is designed, and we need the power of the Holy Spirit for the ministry of regeneration. For the ministry of regeneration. And I would say to you that all of these others, when done under the power of the Holy Spirit, will always result in regeneration. Why? What are we doing? We are announcing the arrival of the kingdom. We are doing the king's business. And the king has called you to be his ambassador. And he's given all of his resources available to you. And you go announcing. Well, what happens when the demonic spirits rise up against it? And they will. Then all authority I've given to you. And in the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But don't you dare try to do an impartation ministry, a deliverance ministry, or healing ministry apart from the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you remember those Bubbas in Acts, the sons of Sceva? They tried to do this because it looked cute, looked interesting. And those demon spirits beat them up, stripped them naked, and sent them out. Saying, Paul I know and Jesus I know, who do you think you are? Now that don't mean you're scared of them. It just means you don't do it in flesh and blood. You do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. And let me close it with this. The Apostle Paul, when he went to that carnal, corrupt, ungodly city of Corinth, he says, when I came to you, I didn't come to you with excellent speech. I didn't come to you with pretty words, but I came to you with full demonstration of the Spirit and the power of the kingdom of God. Amen? So let me ask you today, church, what about that bad thing that's been in your life? Could it very well be that the bad thing that's been in your life is so that God can demonstrate His works in you and through you by them? Could it be that today is the day that God is going to remove that season of bad thing from your life? Could it be that today is the day that Jesus is passing by? And with Jesus passing by, He's going to show the world where He's at work in you. I don't know about you, but I've already made my confession. I've already made up my mind that if God will entrust to me a greater works ministry, I want a greater works ministry. I don't know about you, but I've already made up my mind. I've already made my choice that if I get to have a greater works ministry anywhere, I want it to be here rather than anywhere else in the world. And God may be waiting for you as well.
You've been listening to a message from Truth Tabernacle of Praise. We encourage you to explore the many sermons available on our website, www.truthtabernacle.net. If you'd like more information and you're listening in the United States, please call 404-297-7700. That's 404-297-7700. Or send an email to info@truthtabernacle.net. Again, that's info@truthtabernacle.net. We would love to hear about how this message has encouraged you in some way. For those living around or visiting the Metro Atlanta area, we invite you to attend in person. You'll find the music refreshing and the people friendly and inviting. Join us for worship this Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Truth Tabernacle of Praise is located at 5705 Memorial Drive in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you.